Sure. Yes, it's a great privilege to speak to you tonight, and I'm so excited. But just before I get into that, I just want to tell you all, while I've got the microphone and I'm standing up here now, that my baby is alive and well and growing, because you all asked, so I want to just tell you all. And it's good, it's healthy. I'm past the morning sickness, so that's great. And I'm in a very nice stage where I've got lots of energy and I'm very happy. Okay, so it's done. So yeah, so it's just so nice. But so tonight's word has just come by. I'll just go straight into it. But a few weeks ago, I was standing there and I was washing the dishes, and this always happens. So ladies, you should wash the dishes because God speaks. But I was washing the dishes, and I was just so conscious of the fact that, you know, we often, James and I, especially me, like, well, I love Bill Johnson, I love Bethel Church, I love their stuff, I love Highway stuff, but I love Bethel stuff. And I often just download preachers, and I'm often just listening to Bill Johnson, to Chris Valentine. I'm often just listening to these guys, and these guys are amazing. They impact. They've got the most incredible, incredible revelation. But I almost felt like I don't want their revelation. I want my revelation. I want something from the heart of the Father. And so I was just standing there, and I was saying, okay, Lord, speak to me. Give me something special. What do you want to say to me today? What is your heart for me today? And so as I'm standing there, it's so funny, the Lord really does have a sense of humor, because he says to me, in my spirit, it's like you just know when God speaks, he says, Jesus is life. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. Tell me something else. I learned that in Sunday school. We sing that in songs. We know that as Christians. And it just came into my mind that Jesus is life. And this thing didn't go away, not for 1 minute. It was like it impacted my spirit. It was like when Jesus speaks, there's a deposit of Jesus in our spirits. And literally the whole day, I ended up turning to the Word, looking up life in the concordance. And so I want to share with you just my journey of my study through the Word that day. Is that okay? So first of all, the whole heart of tonight's message is that I know that I could probably learn a lot from you guys. There's nothing new under the sun that I'm speaking about tonight. It's not new revelation. You've all heard it. But that it wouldn't just be words on a page, that it wouldn't just be a good preach or something motivational, but it would be life in your spirit. It would be Jesus breathing his life into your spirit. We can all do with life, right? We can all live and be happy as Christians. So I just want to pray that right now and just release that over us. And so, Father, I just ask you right now that every single word that I speak, that Daddy God, that you go before me tonight and you breathe your breath of life on each and every single person here tonight. I pray that we will not leave the same. I pray that we will leave with life in our spirits, this excitement about life in our spirits. And that Holy Spirit, you would do a work beyond me. You would do a work in each and every single person's heart and mind tonight. Give people ears to hear what the Spirit is saying and eyes to see what your word is saying, Father God. I ask you for that tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. So my very first point is when you go into the concordance and you look up life, the very, very first thing that comes up is Genesis 2, verses 7. And I know the sound guys are going to just run with me as I go through this. But the first point is that God breathed life into Adam. Life came from God. And so we look at the verse, Genesis 2, verse 7. It says, the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The breath of life. You see, life comes from God. The verse states that every single human being, I mean, this is so huge. Every single human being, a caveman out there who doesn't know one thing about humanity, atheist, every different religion, someone who just doesn't know God, every single person was given life, and God's idea for them, God breathed life into them. So we see that God created them. We know God created them. But how awesome is it that God breathed life? That's what makes you a human being, is that God breathed life into man. So we see that life was God's idea right from the very, very beginning of time. It actually came from God. And we can even see that God intended life to be good. You see, how do we know that? Because in the Garden of Eden, we see that literally there was abundance of food, there was an abundance of animals, there was joy, there was peace, there was love, there was no striving. The ground was not cursed, and God even realized that Adam was alone. And God even said, you know what, I want to bless Adam, he needs a helper. And God realized what Adam needed, and so he created Eve out of him. We know the story. But there was perfect relationship between God and man. And we see that it says in the Word that God even walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. So there was this beautiful picture of the Garden of Eden and of life and the life that God created. And as it was in the Garden of Eden, it was this beautiful, amazing place for Adam and Eve to live. But there was a choice. And God had to put choice into the Garden of Eden because what is life without choices? Like, otherwise God would have made us robots. There would be nothing in us that made anyone to choose anything. So we see that God never ever intended life to be hard or man to hate life. Ever. It was never God's picture right from the beginning. And that we also see that a world of sin and death was never ever God's choice either. So let's just take a deeper look into what was God's intention for mankind. And that brings me to my second point, which says God's intention is always to restore life. You see, we know that I skimmed over Adam and Eve. We all know what happened. That wasn't the point, okay? But just to let you know that. But the point was that God made life, and he made it to be good, okay? So God's intention then, after the fall of man, was to restore life, all right? And we see that the whole Bible is a book of restoration. It's God wanting to restore the lost, the brokenhearted. It's God calling his people to him, the lover. He's the lover. The people were looking, you know, how it is. But basically, we see, just in a few examples, is that we see David, like, literally, David was out there. He was the youngest of the lot. He was totally, totally overlooked. He was sitting out on the fields. His brothers all wanted to be king. And we know that God chose David. We know that God came and took little old David, the youngest, the meekest, the smallest. God took little David and he made David into a great and a mighty king. And he even calls David, we know that David was an amazing, amazing king and he ruled for many, many years. But he even calls David a man after God's own heart. So he totally restored David, and there's this beautiful picture of David. We see that a young girl named Ruth, we look in the Bible about Ruth and Boaz, how Ruth didn't have a big family, how Ruth only had an auntie. And when the rest of the family or her cousins went to go and seek a better life, Ruth said, no, I actually feel like I need to be loyal and I need to stay with the auntie. And how God took Ruth from the place where she was, where she had nothing. She had very little. And we know that God restored her so much that he gave her Boaz. So she was almost like she got the best deal of the lot, in a sense, you know. We see God's heart for the Israelites. And how God's heart for the Israelites was to arrive in the land of the milk and honey. And we see how we know that God fed them in the desert, how God led them with a pillar of cloud by day and night. We know how God never let their shoes run out, their clothes run out. God fed them every day. God was so there for the Israelites. And yet, a lot of them never ever entered into the land of milk and honey. A lot of them died in the desert place. thinking that that was their purpose, thinking that God had taken them out of Egypt to die in the desert. It's Egypt, hey? You're just checking. Okay, so I get that. I'm not very good at geography. Anyway, so, but we do see that. And actually, it's quite sad because those people who were led out of Egypt died never having a good concept of God. They literally thought God's plan was that they would be taken out of Egypt to die in the desert. That's what they said. And you know, so often man and people today don't have a very good concept of God. You know, we don't realize how good God is. But we do know that we see later on in the Word that they did get to the land of milk and honey, and that God did keep to His promise, and that they were restored. So we just see God's beauty in that. Let's have a look at the New Testament. What about Jesus? I mean, Jesus came, and we're on this point of God wanting to restore life. Jesus came to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to raise the dead, to cleanse the lepers. Jesus walked with the lepers. Jesus touched the lepers. Jesus healed the lepers. Jesus walked with the prostitutes. He loved. Jesus' heart was to restore completely. He loved His people. He didn't want His people to be in this place. And we know that Jesus, that He demonstrated that He loved, and then He proclaimed. He didn't just walk around saying, repeat, for the kingdom of God is near. He did. He said that. But he loved. He demonstrated His word at the same time. And so we see that, we know that Jesus only did what He saw the Father doing. But it's almost like in this context, we see here that God's heart, we see Jesus being God's heart, Jesus acting out God's heart to restore people's lives. Literally in the flesh. It's just the most incredible, incredible just pattern of God wanting to restore. And so, I've got a few scriptures. It's Psalm 126, verses 4. It says, restore our fortunes, O Lord. It says, restore our fortunes. I'll just go for it. It says, restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap for joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy. Okay, so what does this have to do with anything? Well, God's heart is to restore life and to give joy where there has been tears. We just see that so clearly there. Just how beautiful. I mean, I've just picked a few scriptures, eh? There were lots, okay. Isaiah 43, verse 19, it says, see, I'm just going to spring onto this thing. Isaiah 43:19 says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now, should I read from here rather? See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. We see God coming into a place where there is a desert place, and He is wanting to make streams of life in the wasteland. And this is the most beautiful, beautiful passage, because in a desert there is no streams. In a desert there is no water. And so many of us often, we used to use the terminology a desert place, but I almost think it's a place where we feel like we can't hear God, or we've been trying to hear God, and we feel like, Lord, we've been dry, we haven't been pressing into You as much as we should. And do you know what struck me when I read this? Was that although you've got a desert, if you've got one tiny little pond, you have a lot of life around that pond. Even if it's in a desert, you will have trees, and the trees will attract life. And so I really felt tonight, this is my ananat, okay? I really just felt like tonight, where people have felt like they haven't felt God for a long time, where I know that you guys are so hungry, I know that we are hungry for the presence of God, but sometimes we just don't feel it. And I want to encourage you, get into a place and do what you need to do. And sometimes that means that you need to listen to preachers. Sometimes you need to put a praise and worship CD on. Sometimes you need to go and have coffee with a friend and just get stirred up. You see, we sing that song saying stirring up deep, deep wells inside of us and about the river. It's true. You all have a deep, deep well. You all have the spirit of life already inside of you. And it's just about stirring it up. I think I used to make a lot of excuses saying, I'm in a desert place. I can't hear from God. Actually, we have wells inside of our hearts that just need to be stirred up every now and then. And sometimes we just need encouragement. Sometimes we just need love. Sometimes we just need a phone call. Sometimes we just need to get into the presence of God. But the point is that God is wanting to come and He's wanting to bring streams of living water. He's wanting to bring life. Water represents the Holy Spirit. And so this scripture is about the Holy Spirit breaking in into a dry place. God's not promoting the dry place. He's saying, let the streams come forth. Let's just come into this place of abundance. So, in Isaiah, I'm going to jump to the next one. Isaiah 61, verses 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to those who are bound. Okay, mine is different, but we know the scripture. This is God's heart wanting to come through, and He is wanting to say, no, there is no prisons. You know, so many times we become captive to prisons in our minds. And what I mean by that is our minds are powerful, our thoughts are powerful. And what we think, as ladies, I don't know about any of you, but when I get cross, it's like I play it in my mind over and over and over and over again, and then I have a conversation, and then it comes back, and it becomes this big thing in my mind. And actually what it does is it creates a prison, because it almost locks me in. It doesn't make me feel good, because it's all in my mind. And so many of us have an area here where we are actually captive to our thoughts, where we believe lies about ourselves that aren't true, where we believe that we aren't worthy, where we believe that because we've done something we can't be in God's presence, or whatever it is. But we literally see God's heart coming to say, I don't want you to be in a prison. God's heart here is that He wants us to be free, guys. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to have life. It's like, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful. But we also know that through the Old Testament, God wanted, He wanted the best for mankind. But the truth is mankind actually couldn't enter that true place of restoration without His Son Jesus. And so we know that Jesus came, in the New Testament we know that Jesus came, and Jesus came as our Redeemer. And Jesus came and He said, I have come that you may have life and life abundantly. Jesus comes with the same heart as the Father. Jesus and God have the same heart. From God right in the beginning, for His breath of life, it's the same thing. God wants us to have life and life abundantly. And Jesus comes and says, I have come so you may have life and life abundantly. So we almost see that, we know that God kind of changed the plan here in a little bit, if I can say it like that. It wasn't this outward thing of God. Like we had to, in the Old Testament, Moses saw the burning bush, and that's how he had an encounter with Jesus. We see that through Jesus, Jesus comes and He lives inside of us. And that brings me to my next point, which is Jesus lives inside of us. Jesus lives. So it's not just this outer thing anymore. It's now inside of us. And God's heart is so, so, so good that He kept on trying to get our attention. I think in the Bible days, He sent angels. He did what He could to get His people's attention. But now He has sent His life, His true Son. He has sent Jesus inside of us. And that has made us different. And so we know that, I mean, I'm skimming over this, but you're getting what I'm trying to say. We know that through Jesus, in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, we know that when we were buried with Jesus, every single thing, when Jesus died, we were affiliated with Christ. When Jesus died, we were buried with Christ, which means that our nature, like literally my nature before I was saved, my sinful nature, the ugly puffy me who maybe, wanted to slander, wanted to gossip, wanted to do bad things, whatever it was, died with Christ as Jesus was buried, that sinful part of me was buried. Done with. Over and done with. Over. And as we, and we know it, and that's Romans 6, we know it, that in that burial, there was an exchange that took place. And as Jesus rose to life, something supernatural, something beautiful came onto us. Something, there was an exchange that took place. And we rose again with Christ, as new creations in Christ. And as we rose, in the rising, there was the Spirit that was deposited inside of us. And that is the life of Christ within inside of us. And that is what separates you and I from an unsaved person. It is what separates us from the world, is the fact that you and I have the life of Jesus inside of us. And we have given our hearts to the Lord. Jesus lives inside of us. It says, and we know the scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Galatians 2 verses 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We see here, Christ lives in me. Romans 8 verses 10, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive. Here's the spirit alive thing again. Your spirit is alive because of righteousness, because of him. He is alive. So he is now in us. So we are alive. Okay? The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, which that's a huge statement. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who lives in you. You know, we know the scripture. I can probably say it without reading it. But that's not the point. The point is that we know the scripture so well, but if we really understood the power of what I was saying here, if we really had a revelation, and I pray for a revelation of the power of God that is within every single one of you, I tell you now, church, there were 12 disciples, and they had a revelation of this, and they changed the world upside down. But it is this one thing that we battle to grasp. We almost feel like the power is for someone else. We almost feel like, you know what, they're good, God uses them, let God use them. I'll call this person to pray for them. Why do I have to pray for that person? You know, and I just feel like this is the one area as Christians that Satan really does attack us almost the most. Because he knows that if we understand the true power of God, if we really have to have an understanding of the true power of God, the Christ, that spirit, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. If, when we have that revelation, there is so much power. There is so, so, so much power. We now, I just put a little analogy. We've gotten into a plane, literally, and we've got engine number one going. Okay. We're now revving up engine number two. Because now, this is the life that Jesus intends you to live. Engine number one is that God breathed life. And that God restored life. But now, Jesus came and Jesus is in us. So it's different, you see. So what I'm saying is that, so often we forget what this means. And the truth is that there is the fullness of life, the fullness of life inside of you right now. You are full. You lack nothing. You don't lack a conversation skill. you lack nothing. The thing that you think you lack, you don't. Because it says that you have the fullness of Christ within you. God's not going to make you with a 20% deficit. God's going to put his fullness inside of you. But the truth is, if I had to ask you now, do you feel this life? And do you feel this life? Do you truly feel this life? You know what? We probably would say, no, I don't. And the truth is that this is why the word says that we need to fix our eyes on the unseen, because it is the unseen realm that is more real. You see, this is a spiritual truth. It's not about a man just getting up and just acting in power. literally, it's about you allowing Jesus to put his power inside of you and you understanding it. So when we fix our eyes on the unseen, it's like the spiritual is more real than the physical. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. It really doesn't. The spiritual is more real than the physical. And so this brings me to my next point, and that is that there is life in your body. There is life. When you became saved, and we call it salvation, the Greek word for salvation is sozo. And I did some research on it, and sozo, translated, it means, it means to heal, to preserve, to save, to do well, to make whole. Steve touched on it this morning. This is the Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation. It is in our minds. And so literally, we have sozo, we have this life. When we entered salvation and we put our hands up and we said, yes, Jesus, I want you. I pick you. You know, not I pick you, Jesus. We know Jesus picked you, but you come into a place of salvation. Life came into your body. And literally over you, you know, we used to sing the banner of over me is love. Literally every morning when you wake up and you go to work, the banner over you is to heal, is to preserve, is to save, is to do well, is to make whole. The banner over you is to do that. Because, you see, salvation is not just for when we die one day and go to heaven and, lo, we've arrived and we see the angels. Salvation is every single day, folks. If we have that mentality, we're going to miss out on the life that God intended us to live. Christianity might be very boring if we've got that intention. I don't mean to say it will be, but it might be very, very boring. Because every day, if we don't experience the sozo, if we don't experience the life of God running through our veins, we get bored. Because God has intended us to give life, to preserve, to heal, to make whole. And so I want to encourage you, it's every single day. Your salvation is every single day. You walk into that thing every single day. And you can just see how this is Jesus restoring again. He doesn't want us to have a boring life. He does this because he wants us to have a fun, exciting, amazing, interesting, dynamic life. I think sometimes we need life inside of us. We need to get excited. We need to, because when you see, like James prayed for that guy with the brain tumor, and they got up and testified this morning that the brain tumor had gone. I mean, come on, that is so exciting. Because Jesus healed, and that's what we're called to do. And that releases excitement. And so we see that this life, this sozo life, it transforms us. It transforms us physically, emotionally, and mentally. Because of nothing that we do, but because of everything that Jesus has already done inside of us. We don't lack anything. His power unlocks us. His power releases us. His power comes and gives us joy where there's been tears. His power, and so is his battery going. Anyway, so if you're lacking in one of these areas, and maybe there isn't the fullness of life, maybe you do battle, whatever it may be, whatever is stopping you from entering into the fullness of life on a day-to-day basis, that is not God's plan. Whether it is a headache, whether it is flu, whether it is cancer, whatever it is that stops you from entering into the life of God is not God's plan. Because God's plan is that you are full of life, his energy, his love, his wholeness, every single day of your lives. See, the word says that his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power, it's already been given to us. Everything you need. Do you need healing? He heals. Do you need wholeness? He heals. Emotionally. I'll stop there. Everything. But we don't allow yourselves to be shortchanged from the devil. By the devil. Don't allow yourselves to be shortchanged by the devil. And just say, oh, it's just flu. It will pass. Because it's not. Because if it's just flu and you don't pray for it and God doesn't heal you, you don't have that element of excitement. Because if God does heal you, there's an excitement. Jesus healed me of my flu. Do you know what I mean? There's life that came into your body because of that. So it brings me to my fifth point. And now that there is this power, there is a natural byproduct that affects our lives. And the fifth point is, are you reigning in life? And we know that in Romans 5, verses 17, the verse will come up. It says, if by the trespass one man, death reigned through that. Okay, let me read it further. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ? The link is Jesus Christ. The link is Jesus in us. But it is provision and grace and this gift of righteousness. It is the most beautiful freeing scripture. And we know that grace is unmerited favor and we should be living in this favor of God. God favors us because we have Jesus inside of us. So he is favoring us because the Son is in us and he loves the Son so much. So there is a natural favor that when we step out, we step into favor. And just a thought that came into my mind and that the Lord highlighted to me this morning is that reigning in life is also how we view life. It's not necessarily, it's not just necessarily getting the better job. Reigning in life is if you, like when I came back from my first trip in Mozambique, I came back. And I was like, wow, I am so rich. So rich. I have a cell phone. My parents have two cars. I never have to worry about if I'm going to get food to eat. I go to school. The view on life, I became thankful for the life that I had. And so I want to say to you guys that it's how you view your life as well. That's one element of reigning in life. If you choose to be positive, you know what? I need a job, but Lord, I love you. I love you so much. I know that you are good. I love my church. I love my family. Thank you for my good kids. Thank you for what you have given me, Lord God. And there's this heart of thankfulness. You're reigning in life. Because what happens is your mind gets taken off your circumstances. Oh, woe is me. And it gets put onto Jesus, who is good, and who loves you, and who loves it when you praise him. And so there's this element of then you reigning in life. So there is that point, is how do we view our life? But as Christians, I do want to say this, that because of Jesus in us, because of God who loves Jesus so much, we should be getting the best jobs. We should be having the best ideas. We should be having the God ideas because we have the mind of Christ. Church, you are so powerful. You have Jesus inside of you. The source of life is inside of you. And so we should be having, we should be really be, just how's this for, sorry, I'm going a bit, getting stuck in my notes here. Sorry. But how's this for a bit of a history lesson? Picasso was a famous artist. He was a Christian. Leonardo da Vinci, famous artist. He was a Christian. We know these guys today because of their art. When actually those guys were just tapping into what they had. They were tapping into their God ideas. They were just being who God created them to be. God created them to be artists. They drew because that's what they knew to do. And God gave them the ideas. Today, they are literally famous dudes. We all know about them. It's awesome. And actually, what I've come to realize is that the life of Christ is like gold within us. Deep treasure that the world is longing to see. You see, we have gold inside of us, treasures that are hidden inside of us. So don't overlook your gifting. Don't overlook and say, no, it can go through someone else. Because God has put so much inside of every single one of you. Isaac Newton, how's this? He was a physicist, that I used to say. He is a mathematician, an astronomer, a natural philosopher, and a theologian. And he was known as the greatest and most influential scientist who ever lived. Christian guy. Isn't that just so cool? Like, he's a scientist just doing what he knows. So life is meant to be good, and life is good. So tonight, I want to speak life over you. Is that okay? I want to just speak the life of God. And I really sense that on Friday morning, I had a word from the Lord, and I felt like preachers were going to be released from our body, from this church, to go and preach the word of God into the places where the harvest is plentiful. That we would release people to preach in the workplaces, in the schools, in the marketplaces, that there'd be anointing on your tongues to preach the word of God because of this life of Jesus that lives inside of you. And so I want to proclaim tonight, where there are areas of finances, where there is a lack of finances, I want to speak breakthrough into that area right now. I speak breakthrough into that area. Where there are people who have lost ones in their family, they have people who aren't saved, I want to call those people into the kingdom of God right now in the name of Jesus. Just where there are circumstances that prevent us, where there's sickness, I want to say, sickness, you have no authority over Highway. You have no authority over our members. You have no authority over our people in the name of Jesus. Families, you will be whole in the name of Jesus. Marriages, you will be whole. Restoration, I just speak restoration of marriages into our church. Health over our children. Good marks over our children. I just speak that right now in the name of Jesus. Why are you guys so dead? You have the life of Christ in you. I'm speaking life. You should be excited. Because Jesus inside of you, he's wanting to tap in. Do we want him? That is the thing. Highway will be a hub of revival. It will. You know, I want to say something, church. We have seen more healing signs and wonders in Highway this year than I ever have before. More. Come on, Jesus. It's awesome. We've seen so, so much. So what have I done here? I've released life into the atmosphere. Whether you felt it or not, it's there. You got to claim it. So my next point is that you release life through your mouth. This is how this life comes out. It's allowing this Jesus to flow from within us. And the word says, freely you have given, freely you receive. Freely we have received, freely we give. Sorry. So I want to change the direction of this just a little bit. And I heard this, a lot of this comes from Bill Johnson, and I really want to share it with you because it's the most incredible revelation. So I'm going to do it. So you just got to listen. Okay. How was the world created? God spoke it into being. He spoke the world into being. Okay. Proverbs says that there is life and death in the power of the tongue. So the Lord has given every single one of us an unlimited well to release life. Because every single one of you have life inside of you. Okay? I'm not talking now about nice, pretty things, like your hair is good, I like what you're wearing. Obviously, that's great, but that's actually not what I'm saying. But what I am saying here is that it's important for you to hear the heart of the Father and release what He is saying. You see, there's an anointing when we have ears to hear what the Father is saying and we release what He is saying, because it's not us, it's Him. And there's life whatever He deposits. So if life and death are on the power of your tongue, and the word says to fix your eyes on not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because we know that there are spiritual realms. We talk about realms. It sounds like a spooky word. But that's actually what the Bible's saying here. That the unseen realm, there's a realm that we don't see. Okay? And we know that that is the spiritual realm. Then, at the same time, there are realms that are released when we speak. You understand? There are realms that are released when we speak. This is how powerful the power of speech is. Why do I say this? What standing point do I have to say these realms released when you speak? Well, have you ever been into a room where you just walk into the room and like you can just sense that the atmosphere is really bad. Like, you just walk in and you're like, oof, don't know what it was about that place, but there was an atmosphere. And you almost don't want to be in that atmosphere. Or you can walk into a place and it's like there's a party and there's a good atmosphere and the rugby's playing and there's fun and there's joking and there's a good atmosphere straight away. And you just feel good. You feel happy. You feel like laugh. You want to joke. That is what I'm talking about. So I don't want to focus on the negative side, but I don't want you to miss out on what I'm saying here. Because it is important for us to catch the heart of the Father, to hear God, when He speaks. Because when we hear God, when He speaks, there is a greater deposit of Jesus in your life. When you hear God speak, when you hear Jesus speak, the Holy Spirit speak, Jesus is more evident in your life. Because you heard Him speak. And He is life. It releases life into your body. When I hear God speak, I get excited. I want to hear Jesus speak. That's the point. I want to. And so in Ephesians 4, verses 29, in the ESV version, it says, if we can have that scripture up, Ephesians 4, verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." The most important thing here, I think, is give grace. Grace, we know, is His favor. His favor. And we can't release grace. Jesus is grace. He releases grace. Okay? Ooh, yeah. So Paul isn't saying here, don't let corrupt speech come out of your mouth. Why? Because you don't know what realities you're releasing. You're releasing realities that aren't good, they're unwholesome, they're not doing anyone good. Don't go there. Just it's unhelpful to go there. Rather look for words that encourage. Rather look for gifts on people. Rather, in Ephesians 2 verses 10, Steve touched on this morning, it says, we are God's workmanship. Now, every single person here is a beautiful masterpiece that is still unfinished. Okay? I say unfinished, not because you are not righteous. You are righteous in Christ. But God says, it says in the Word that we go from glory to glory. So we're all on this path. We're all together on this path where we're going more. We're on a journey with Christ. We're on a journey with God. And He's taking us from one place to another place. But we actually get the privilege of building into other people's lives, of being almost the workmanship of God. And we get the privilege of reading God's poetry over people's lives as such. We know that God is the author and the perfecter. God writes your life. He knows your life. He knows. It says He knows the plans He has for you. Plans to prosper, plans to purpose, plans to give you hope. He's got that over you. Plans to give you a future. And so when we are tapping into God and we're saying, God, what is your heart for Bill? What is your heart for James? What is your heart? What are their giftings? How can I speak life? What are you saying about them? I tell you, it is such a privilege. But God, and then it goes on, the Word says, God will give grace to those who hear. The point is that it's not just your words that you're saying to puff them up and make them feel good and encourage them. That is good and that's all well. But the point here in this verse is that your words, when you speak your words become backed up by God. And God gives grace and God gives favor and His divine power is released into that person's life. You see, God gives favor that we can't. We can speak, but God comes and He backs it up. So in other words, God is looking for who you are wanting to release life to. Like, God wants to bless you all right now with an amazing word. He wants to. It's His heart. He wants to show you what you want. He wants to release a prophetic word, but are we ready? We've got to do the prophetic words. We've got to encourage. We've got to step out. And so in other words, when you choose someone to encourage, God says, I'm backing Corrine up. God says, if you encourage them, so will I. You go and you speak life over them, I will deposit my life over them. This is incredible, guys. Because literally, after you speak, God releases His divine favor over those people. You get to choose. It's quite literally, you get to choose. And these days, I was just doing, I heard this analogy. When a farmer plows the ground, when a farmer plows the land, he normally in these days, they plow the land first and then they scatter the seed. But actually, in the Bible days, they used to scatter the seed first and then they used to plow the land. Okay? So what is God actually saying? What is this analogy saying? Well, we sow the seed, okay? We the ones who sow the seed, and then God comes and he plows the seed. God comes and he causes the seed to grow. You see, we speak about signs and wonders and miracles. We speak from the word, but God comes and he releases and he confirms the word with the signs, wonders, and miracles. We step out and we sow a seed of encouragement and God comes and he releases his divine favor and anointing on people's lives. So we get to release life and we get to release favor through hearing God. And so basically what I'm saying here is why? Is because when the Spirit speaks, the Spirit of the Lord brings life. That's what it says. So freely we have been given this. Freely we have been given. Freely we give. This is the life that Jesus has intended for us to live. Let's not miss out on this life. God is wanting to do, he's wanting to do so much in our lives. So much. He wants us to enjoy this life, guys. For it to be an awesome, awesome time. And so the word says, in him we live and move and have our being. In him we live. Everything is in him. It started off by God. It's now inside of us, literally. We live our daily lives in him. That is it. What's your right view? Okay. I'm going to ask you all to stand and sure. I'm just going to pray. Going to pray. Father, I just proclaim your life in this place tonight. I just proclaim those wells that are in every single heart. I just proclaim the deep wells that are inside of us. I speak those wells to fill up rivers of living water, streams of living water, Lord, just to come and to refresh us, Lord. Lord God, where we might not have heard you for a long time, I thank you that you will come, Lord. That, Father, I pray that we would hear your voice, Lord God. I pray that we would be a people that would release your life wherever we go, because Jesus, your life is inside of us, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that we would leak your presence wherever we go and whatever we do, Lord God. That when we walk into the shops, there would be an anointing because you are inside of us, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the unsaved will come to us and say, what is different about you? Because we can see Jesus through you, Lord. Lord, I proclaim life over families, just abundance of life. Jesus, where you say you have come to give life and life abundantly. Where death has reigned, I speak you to naught in the name of Jesus. And I say, life, you will come into those families' lives right now in the name of Jesus. I speak this church just to be a hub of revival, a hub of life, that there would be a buzz of life. There would be testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies of your goodness, Lord God, in our lives, Jesus, that we would not stop speaking about how good you are to us, Lord God. Lord, that we would truly reign in life, Lord, that whatever we do, however we do it, Lord Jesus, you would cause us just to reign in our areas of influence, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I just release an anointing just for prophetic words. Prophetic words, Father, when we are in the shopping centers, when we are in church, just that we would see your heart, that we would be able to read the poetry that you have over your people's lives, Lord, and we would be able to release that life into our people, Jesus. That we would have the mind to say, I don't want to speak about corrupt talk today. I don't want to speak negatively. I want to speak positively. I want to release the life of you inside of me, Lord God. So I just proclaim that over every single one of us today, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We adore you. Thank you that you have given us life and life abundantly. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Corinne, for sharing your washing up experience with us. We feel all washed up and clean, and we're drying as you speak. So thanks for sharing that with us. And to all of you, thanks for coming out.